Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys and gals, how you doing? This is the Big Dog, Benny Henderson Jr. coming at you live from Big Dog Radio. Brought to you by the one and only Fighting Words Radio Network, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to today's program. Listen, if you hear any honks, screams, shouts, any hillbilly noises, I'm here in small town Texas. It's a beautiful day. I got the door open, watching the neighbors get drunk, start shit, act stupid, so apologize for any inconvenience they may cause you. Today, it's a special day. It's the Lord's Day. Thank you, God, for me waking up to another day. We opened up with a little bit of Godsmack, I Fucking Hate You, which I don't fucking hate you. I fucking love you. I love everybody. But the song is really fitting for today in this interview, and no, I don't hate the guest. But, you know, real quick, you know, years ago I interviewed a band by the name of Framing the Red, great rock band. I had Jamie, Jordan, Mike, and Cody on the line, and it was a tremendous interview, to be honest. And the band was just really a really great band. And I'm not blowing smoke when he was asked, you know, anybody's listening to this, well, no, they were a really great band. Going places, they shared the stages with guys like Lynyrd Skynyrd, Motley Crue, Seven Dust, Drowning Pool, and of course one of the founding members, Jamie Welch, the guitar player. He recently stepped away from the band and left the band, and now he's doing his own thing, and we will get on that. And there's a lot of reasons behind that, and a lot of you guys who follow Jamie or the FTR or whatever, you see both sides or see this side of the story, that side of the story. Well, today Jamie's here to just clear up the air, lay it on the line, speak his mind, and he has open forum to do so. And right now we're joined by the one and only Jamie Welch. Man, how you doing, brother?
Good, dude. What's up, man?
Oh, man, like I said, just enjoying small-town Texas weather, brother. It's nice here, you know. Just like I said, if you hear anything kind of crazy out there.
I'm in small-town Ohio, somewhere in Ohio right now, freezing our dicks off up here. It's 31 degrees.
It's 72, I believe, here right now, man. So that's and that's
summertime, cool. Man.
That has to be just a few days ago. Here you were in Tyler, Texas. And now you're in Ohio,
yeah,
man. That weather has to be totally, because you're wearing shorts of the day.
Yeah, dude, I was wearing shorts and a sleeveless shirt 2-3 days ago, and now I'm in a hoodie and pants and boots and stuff. It's cold, man. It's tough.
But it's
then
a hell of a life.
3 days from now, we'll be in good old sunny Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And we got Jamie Welch on the line. You know, like I said, he was founding member of Framing the Red, tremendous guitar player. Great guy who I consider a friend now. Now, to all the listeners out there, especially FTR fans, I know there's some listening in. If anybody takes this any kind of what we're doing here, we're just going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about Drowning Pool. We're going to, you know, address some situation, you know, some things with FTR if Jamie would like to. And if anybody has any problems or whatever, you're more than welcome to get with me at 347-202-0832 or shoot me an email at bigdogmedia7l.com. And anybody who has a problem with it, more than welcome to speak your mind to myself because I'm unbiased, and we're here just, you know, let's get the scoop. Now, listen, Jamie, real quick, I ain't going to keep you long. I know that you guys, you know, you started the band FTR, I think, around 2010, and you guys are, like, really kicking ass, man, and just really doing great and getting bigger and getting better. And then a lot of people know the story that you left because there was difference of opinions on touring and playing. Y'all are fixing to come out with y'all sophomore album and just do a lot of things, and you walked away. And for the ones who don't really – who's been living under a rock, what exactly happened, man? Why did you depart from a band that you put so much into, bro?
Yeah, dude, it just comes down to where a man can only take so much before he reaches his breaking point. That's it in a nutshell, man. It's just so much happened, honestly, in the last, you know, I don't know, 8 months to a year. The band is not trimming the red that me and Cody started back in 2010, I think, yeah. And, dude, just so much has happened, man. And like I said, dude, a man can only take so much before he just finally either loses his mind or goes to jail or just quits. So I finally just, you know, I have kids, especially I finally just decided, let's just walk. I knew at one point I finally knew I'd have to get out of this, you know, and it just got to where, dude, I was miserable, man. Like, I mean, the finances were good, you know, we were making pretty decent money then, you know, the shows were getting much better. The second album was almost done, you know, which it's slamming, dude. It's such a good album. I'm definitely proud of it, you know, if they'll ever decide to release the damn thing. But things are going good, dude, and just, you know, and the music part of it, I mean, show-wise, but our fans only see 45 minutes to, you know, 2 or 3 hour shows. You know, that's all they see of our daily lives. And, dude, there's, you know, 20 more hours off of that stage that fans and friends and family don't see. And that's what got me, man, was just the bullshit that went on within inside of that bus and the business decisions that were being made. It was just not, my opinion, were not smart, not beneficial, and just a complete waste of my damn time and not worth me leaving my children anymore. Used to, I could justify prying my 8-year-old daughter and my 3-year-old daughter off of my side, crying, screaming, begging me to stay. I could justify it then. Now, you know, the last, you know, couple 6 to 7 months of the band, no, it was completely just ignorant and foolish for me to leave my children for the avenue that the band was about to go down, and that they're going down now. You know, it is definitely not for me. You know, we saw everything differently. We never saw everything eye to eye, business wise, personal issues and shit were coming up that I just was like, this is, you know, I can't do it no more, dude. Like, I'm going to break these motherfuckers' necks, you know, if I stay in this band. And it got to where, you know, I did. I've hit two of my band members, you know. I'm not bragging about that. I hate that it came down to that, but it's just a level of disrespect that came to me that I'm not going to tolerate from anybody, you know. And it just got to where it was disrespecting me, disrespecting my ex-girlfriend, disrespecting my child. And when it comes to disrespecting my kid, I'll put a bullet in your face, man. You know, and they're lucky I didn't go even farther with, you know, with handling the way I did, you know. And now I wish I would have. I wish I would have broke their damn necks. But, you know, neither here nor there. But it just got to where it was just not for me anymore. It framing the red is not framing the red anymore. It's they're complete strangers to me now, you know, and it sucks. I hate that, you know, because of the fact that, like you said, dude, 5.5 to 6 years of leaving my children, missing birthdays. Even whenever I was home, I was still going in a sense because my little girl would be sitting there trying to play with me or get me to play with her, and I'm like, not now, baby. I have to book these shows, or I have to talk to these radio people, or I have to, you know, add up our finances. Because, dude, I was our CPA. I was our booking agent. I was our manager. Everything. You know, all they wanted to do was fucking get high and get on the bus and play music. That was it. You know, they did the fun part, the partying part, while I was sacrificing more time away from my kids and stuff. You know, I'm the only one in the band who has kids. And they didn't they couldn't grasp that, man. You know, they couldn't put in their head that, you know, we don't do shit. We don't do anything, you know. Yeah, they help write songs and sing and play the songs. That's it, man. They didn't do any of the booking. They didn't do any of the finances. They didn't do any of the promoting. And whenever I had to, whenever one of them, the bass player, Mike, I had to literally fucking pull his teeth to get him to do anything because he's too busy talking to his girlfriend or we're going down the road. I can't do it right now. You know, like that's what I did most of my work was to and from venues. That's the best time to do it. But for some reason or another, you know, like I couldn't get him to start doing this. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. Can I take stuff from this thing?
Oh, yeah.
But it was just so much, man. And then, like, you know, even now, once I decided to leave, shit went downhill, like, instantly. Things started getting even worse. Like, I didn't want to be on stage with any of them. I didn't want to see them. Nobody was talking on the bus. It was awkward. Because I had, I think, like, 16 shows left after the initial time of me saying, okay, I quit. We still had, I think, like, 15 or 16 shows that I had booked. But I decided to stay instead of leaving that day and catching a flight home. I decided to stay because, you know, every year I had this big hometown throwdown show in my hometown of Vidalia, Louisiana, where I'm from. I live in Natchez, Mississippi, but it's just across the bridge, you know. But I was going to do that, man, because I had a lot of fans counting on me and wanted to see me and stuff like that. So I made the announcement, and, dude, those last 2 months were hell, man. Like, it got to where, you know, I told them I'm not booking another show. I'm not promoting another show. I'm not sending another email because it's just bullshit. We're all getting paid the same amount while y'all are so stoned and high out of your mind, feeding your ass off and not doing the damn thing while I'm doing all the work. You know, it's not fair. So, man, we had, I think, 6 shows in the entire month of January because Jordan was supposed to book that whole month. And he didn't, you know, so we only had the shows that I had previously booked. And I was like, I'm not, you know, I stuck to my guns, like, I'm not doing it. So, of course, we had shitty payout, you know, I mean, we were breaking even. And it just made everything, dude, just so miserable. It was the worst time I've had in my life for the last month and a half in that bus with that band and those guys, you know. And now I'm so relieved, dude. Whenever I walked off stage at the hometown throwdown on February the 13th, dude, it was like a load was just literally lifted off of my shoulders, and I was finally fucking free. I felt like the guy off of Andy Dufresne off of Shawshank Redemption when he climbed through, you know, 500 yards of shit and came out, you know. And I don't know if you've seen that movie or not, but dude, he was fucking free, and that's how I felt whenever I walked off of that stage. I never had to deal with that bullshit again. Coming from an ungrateful band, you know, it's just, it's very aggravating, dude, and stressful, and it just pisses anybody off, man. Like, any man would be pissed off and do the exact same thing I did, you know. A lot of people would have had it a lot harder, you know.
So what you're saying is that last show was the longest night of Jamie Welch's life.
Well, dude, it was cool, man. I'm not going to lie. It was awesome, you know, that we had like an hour and a half set, and I loved it because I knew this was the last time I'm going to play these songs, the last time I'm going to play with this band. You know, at the end of the day, they're all still my brothers, dude, because I fought for them. I bled for them. I cried for them. I did everything for them. I did more for them than I did my own damn children, and I hate to sit here and admit that, but I'm a man, and I'm telling you, I put my kids off for these, you know, ungrateful bastards at the end of the tour, man. They were horrible, dude, like, it was cool finishing off in my hometown with a big stage, lights, sound, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the show wasn't that bad, but getting up to that show, making it home and not going to jail, that was hard. Biting my tongue, I feel like I about bit my damn tongue in half trying to keep my mouth shut and my fist balled up, you know, like, because that's how I am. I'm not going to lie. I have a temper, and my first thing to do is I react by hitting people. That's, you know, just how I was raised, dude. You know, like, you disrespect me, I'm going to fucking knock you out. Or you may whip my ass, but I'm going to take the phone out of it for you, you know. But it was tough, man. Making it up to that time, yeah, it was definitely tough, dude. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, and I know I'm not the easiest person to get along with or work with, but I had a goal, and nothing was going to stand in my way. And it got to where our goals changed. They wanted to go home with their fucking girlfriends and their wives and stuff and play around and want to do two-week tours and take 2 or 3 weeks off. And, man, you can't do that. You are about to release an album that should have already been out, you know, almost a year ago. It should have been done. Instead, they want to, you know, dick off and sit at home all the time, which, yeah, dude, I wanted to go home too, but that album has been waiting and waiting and waiting. One of our songs was recorded over a year ago by CJ from Drowning Pool, well over a year ago, 2 years ago almost. Yeah, I mean, that's American Made that we released, like, almost 2 years ago, and that's one of the singles off the new album. That is poor business, man. You know, it's terrible. You know, Drowning Pool just released their album and went on a 2.5-month nationwide tour. Framing the Red still has not released their album back. They're doing everything ass backwards, man. Like, you're supposed to tour the shit out of your new album. How else are you going to get, how else are you going to promote it, you know? Instead, they want to go home and let their girlfriends and wives listen to it, you know? It's just, it's stupid, man. And it got to where, you know, like I said, they had different goals. They were wanting to go home and cuddle up with their girlfriends and wives while I wanted to tour and, you know, be a rock star. That's what I wanted. And you can't be a rock star sitting home with your head stuck up your girlfriend's ass, man. Sorry. Not going to work. You know, and now
well,
I'm getting a divorce because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants, and now he's going to tour. Really weird. Really weird.
Yeah, it is strange. You know, I know I had spoken with you. We had interviewed just a few months ago on MusicWireOnline.com. Plug, MusicWireOnline.com. And, you and I spoke, and I know this sounds like a really stupid question, but I know at the time that I had asked you, would you regret leaving the band? You told me, you said, I don't know just yet. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. We'll burn that bridge when we get there. But you kind of answered that, but I'm asking, my question is, do you ever regret it later or not? Is there any regrets, and is there any chance for reconciliation and maybe Jamie coming back and joining FTR, or is that bridge been burned?
Do I regret leaving the band now that, you know, whenever you asked me the first time, yeah, I had regrets because I figured at the time things could maybe reconcile. Maybe they, with me threatening to leave, maybe they would open their eyes and say, hey, you know, let's not do this. We're about to lose the hand that feeds us, you know. So, you know, I thought maybe it could work itself out, you know, because we always, everybody's threatened to quit. You know, Jordan's been threatened to quit. Will's threatened to quit. Mike's been threatened to quit. You know, everybody's threatened to quit 100 times except me. I never one time threatened to quit, but whenever I yelled out to them, okay, fine, February 13th is my last day, everybody kind of fucking got quiet. I was like, wow. You know, because I never threatened to quit. But at that time, yeah. Now that I see the avenue that they're going down and the decisions that they're making and the people that they are, not one bit. I have absolutely no regret because I do not want to be affiliated with the bullshit that goes along with Framing the Red now, man. It's just a bunch of fucking lies, drug abuse, and stuff like that. No, I don't want to be affiliated with that at all. They're unprofessional. They have no goals whatsoever, it seems like. You know, it's just, it's stupid, man. So, no, the answer to that question is hell no. I do not regret it one bit. I am so much happier where I am now. So much happier. And I work for a band. I'm not even in Drowning Pool. I'm working for these people. But, man, now that I've been with them for this last month and a half or whatever, I have noticed, I've seen, like, Framing the Red was not near about ready for this level of the industry. The industry would eat that band alive right now. You know, they have no clue what they're getting into or what they're doing or how to handle it when a situation comes up like this, you know, and this level of the industry. And even the opening bands that have been on tour with us, the Bion bands, man, are decades ahead of Framing the Red on professionalism, you know. Yeah, Framing the Red has, to me, has great marketable radio songs that could put us on the map. But when a record label calls you, you know, I asked them before, right after I said I was going to quit, you know, if a record label calls us now and puts us on the road for 6 months, would you go? And every one of them said, no, I'm going home to spend time with my wife. I'm going home to spend time with my girlfriend. That answer right there tells me, you know, that we had different goals and stuff. And that's what happens, man. If you get picked up by a major or even a little independent record label, first thing they're going to do is put your ass on the road. And they weren't ready, man. And they're not. You know, they're not ready now. They weren't ready then. And I don't know now by looking and listening to all the, you know, they've played three shows that I know of, and all three venue owners have messaged me and told me how shitty it is and how they were not, you know, they were not happy with the performance and stuff like that. You know, like, Jordan's going flat. Jordan can't sing. The new guitar player is good, but he's boring as fuck. He don't talk to people. You know, it's like they've lost it. And that's the first three shows on this new tour. So they're not ready for this, man, you know. And, again, I'm not even in this band, but I'm learning so much, dude, that I never knew. I thought I knew a lot about the industry until I got with Drowning Pool. They have, dude, just the guitar player, CJ, man. Me and him have sitting there been talking about, you know, the legal stuff that I'm about to go through a frame in the rear. He's guiding me through and helping me out and making sure everything goes like it's supposed to. But, dude, you know, I never see them ever getting to this level. And will there ever be a reconciliation or me coming back? No, that's not going to – I'm not – if I see Jordan Newman right now, I'm going to knock him out cold. So, as of right now, no, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, hell, Guns N' Roses just got back together too. We never thought that would happen. So, you know, 20 years later or whatever. I don't know.
No,
as
shit.
Of right now, and no, actually, I would break his jaw right now if I saw it, to be honest with you.
Well, I gotta ask this. And here at Big Dog Radio, we do condone beating the fuck out of each other. We're all into that. But I gotta ask this, man. It's been a few years, about 2 years ago, 3 years. I can't remember. I was drinking. I interviewed you guys. I interviewed you, Cody, Jordan, and Mike. And I'm going to say this. It was a tremendous interview, not on my part, on y'all's part. We had a great time. And then after the interview, I spoke on the phone with Jordan, of all people, for maybe a minute or two. And he was, and I'm just, hear me out. He was, man, he was fucking cool. He was nice. He was so humble. I mean, he was humble. And I'm like, man, this dude's a really nice guy. That guitar player is a bit of a dick, but this guy's awesome. No, I'm just kidding. But he was nice, and now hear me out. Now, following him on Facebook, following the band, a couple of years went by, and, I mean, you guys started getting bigger venues, started getting, you know, bigger bands to tour with, sharing the stage with, better money, doing great.
Right.
And his posts, I remember some posts, and this is, any fans out there listening who are like, well, fuck you talking about Jordan, I'm not. I'm pointing out facts. That was on his Facebook
page. Yeah.
Go back
hurts,
and read,
man.
Bitch. Yeah, but I was, and I'm not putting the guy down, but what I'm saying is, he was saying stuff. I remember he was like, you know, I love this job, and I would too. But I remember him saying, you know, it sucks to be, you know, you guys have to work a day job. It sucked to be you guys, and I wouldn't want to do this and that. And me,
yeah,
I'm a guy I've been in oil field 20 years, and we strive to make a living. Yeah. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, these men and women who work every day, they're paying for the tickets. They're paying for the merchandise. They're fucking putting Frame of the Red on the road. What? And you said,
remember
that. What happened? What changed in him for him to start becoming a bit of a dick?
Man, I don't – I guess he got – everybody calls it the lead singer syndrome, man. I guess – I don't know, man. It got to where, dude, like, he would send our merch guy, Tito, out to – he would – get Tito to sign the fucking CDs and posters for him to take to the fans because he was in bed already talking to his damn wife. You know, like, are you serious? These people, like you just said, they paid money to get into these venues. They bought our merchandise. Those people like you, our fans, they clothe my children. They pay my bills. They feed my children. You know, you guys are my lifeline. You guys were Framing the Red's lifeline. If the fans didn't show up, we would be playing the empty venues and we would never get booked again. So, dude, we're all, and I'll speak for Jordan too because he's got too big of a head to say it. We're all in debt to you guys. We owe our career and where we all are right now. We're not big by no means, but man, we played the 75th Sturgis with Skinner, Shinedown, John Fogerty. We played with Motley Crue, Hinder, Buck Cherry. I'm working for Drowning Pool right now. You know, like, they're my really good friends. Like, if it weren't for the fans, yeah, you can write all the music you want, great songs, put on a fucking hellacious show, fire, smoke, all kind of stuff. But, dude, if nobody is there, you're just making a bunch of fucking racket. And they lost sight of that, man. Like, it got to where the fans were bitching. You know, why is Jamie the only one talking to people? Why is Jamie the only one answering people on Facebook? why is Jamie the only one at the merch table? Where's Mike at? Where's Jordan? Why can't they come and sign stuff? I can't ever see anybody. Like, that's the first thing you do, man. You don't get off that stage and go to the bus and fucking snort you a line. You don't go smoke a bowl, you know, or whatever the fuck they were doing. You go to that merch table and you spend time with the people who just paid your gas and your food and your bills and your fucking family's electricity bill at home that night. You know, that's how I always look at it. And dude, Drowning Pool, you saw them. They went out and talked to fans. They signed shit. You know why? Because, dude, they've been in this game for 20 years, and they are still just as humble as they was before they got signed 15 years ago or whatever it was, you know? And that's cool, man. I respect that a lot. They lost, I respect a long time ago, but they lost a lot of the fans' respect, man, by going out into the bus and not being there at that fucking merch table. Yeah, I'm not going to lie, dude. Playing a 3- and 4-hour show, you get tired. I ran around more than any of them motherfuckers, so I know that. I'm fat. I get tired. The first thing I did do is go straight to that merch table. That's what you do. I don't know what made him change. You know, I know one thing that changed him was whenever he got engaged and got married. You know, like, he completely changed to a totally different person, you know, which that's over with now because he fucking cheated on her. She's leaving him. Call him as a bitch. That's what you get. But, dude, he changed, man, and everybody saw it. Everybody saw it. And then everybody started talking about, you know, the other two changing as well. They're never to be found. And I don't know, man. I don't know if they just got relaxed or ungrateful or just outright just fucking lazy. I don't know what it was, you know. I mean, drugs had a lot to do with it. That's what kept them away from the stage and then that damn bus. You know, it got to where if you weren't fucking them or giving them drugs, they had nothing to do with you, you know. And it's sad, but dude, like you just said on the radio, dude, this is the honest truth. If you don't want to hear the truth, cut this fucking radio thing off right now, because I'm not going to lie to the fans. I'm not going to lie to the people that put me where I'm at. I feel like they deserve to know the cold hard truth, not this cookie cutter, sugar coated bullshit. You know, I'm the wrong guy for that kind of interview. You know, go talk to Mike and Jordan about that, because that's how they are. They'll tell you what you want to hear. I want to tell you what fucking comes out of my heart, man.
And it's crazy because, and I got to say this to all you fans out there, and it's just fucking nuts how you just said, you just put this out there. Some of you guys who were getting autographs, if you weren't getting it directly from Jordan, then it was the fucking merch guy doing it. He had the merch guy doing it.
Hell
that
yeah.
That is shitty. Yeah. That is fucking shitty.
That issue, that's slapping people in the face. They just bought a $10 CD. And, dude, we're a working-class band. We don't play Dallas and fucking L.A. and New York City and Denver. We play the shithole small towns where people work 8 to 5, 9 to 5 for minimum wage to $10 an hour. So a $10 CD from somebody that already spent $5 to $10 to get in, dude, that's $20 they spent on our music. That is a huge sacrifice for the working class now, you know, because, dude, like, we're fucking in a recession, man. Like, we're never going to come out of this shit. And it's for somebody to spend some people are spending $45 on our hoodies and stuff. Motherfucker, go sign it. The least you can do is give 5 seconds of your busy day and, you know, a half a cent worth of Sharpie ink to these people's merch that they just bought you. You can't do that much. Fuck off. I have no.
And I remember,
I do remember the night.
Go ahead, Jamie. I'll talk to you, brother. Go ahead.
If I see a big band right now, you know, like one in particular is Pop Evil. Them motherfuckers get off the stage and go straight to the bus. We've played with them 3 or 4 times. And they don't go to their merch table. They don't sign shit. They don't do nothing. You know, like, who are you? You know, you may be big and stuff like that, and I guess you don't need these people no more because you're fucking rich now. But you have to be humble, man. Like, I can't stress that enough. You know, I don't care if I sell 1 million records like Drowning Pool did, man. I'm going to be one of these people that pay my bills and come and watch me time after time. Because, dude, we were having like people that come to 4 or 5 shows driving sometimes 8, 9, 10 hours. Some of our diehard fans that's been around since fucking 2010 that are getting shunned by the band members, and they're like, motherfucker, I put you there. You know, you owe me a signature. You owe me a shot. You owe me, you know, 5 minutes of your day because I give, you know, $20 out of my paycheck every week for your damn band, you know. And like I said, that's one of the main reasons why, like, that's not me. I refuse to be associated with that. They say if you lay down with dogs, you get fleas. I'm not about that. You know, I'm not about that life.
You know, I do remember when Dry and Pool, they as soon as the gig ended, I remember CJ and them walking to the merch table, and I remember that, and it is something, a slap in the face when someone does that. I remember that happened a few times with I've interviewed fighters and, you know, MMA, boxing MMA guys for 11 years, and I've seen guys turn down kids. I don't mean grown-ups, kids, you know, an autograph, like just shun them. And I'm like, you know, you're a fucking dick. And, but I got to say this, man, now you're working for Grind 'em Pool, working with Grind 'em Pool. You said how much, you said you've learned a lot of things from these guys, man. What have you learned? I mean, what have you taken away from these guys? Because these guys have been around a long time. And by the way, Drowning Pool's new album, Hallelujah, is a one badass fucking album. And I'm just being honest. Like I told CJ, I listened to it drunk. I listened to it sober. And it sounds good both ways. DrowningPool.com. Check it out. Buy the album. It's really great. But what have you learned from these guys?
Well, dude, I've learned, like, in the first week that, you know, like, it's a lot easier if you can do it on your own, man. So much easier because, dude, they've been going through just so much shit with, you know, like, label and, you know, agents and stuff like that, man. It's like, these people have been around, you know, they're pioneers, dude, and they're having to show up and load their own fucking gear in and fight for, you know, a decent-sized stage or lights or sound or whatever, you know, or even some of the shows, like, not that they're too good, but it's like they're too big to be in these little bitty-ass venues with a stage that aren't even big enough to put the damn drum riser on. You know, it's like, it's, you know, the other night they literally played on the bar in Louisiana. You know, it was crazy. But, like, if you could do it on your own, if you could book your own shows and just cut out as many middlemen as possible, you know, it seems like that way more beneficial than, you know, paying 10% to this person, 20% to this person when they're just fucking you in the end. It's, you know, you're basically paying people to screw you over. Because there's so many more. I feel like there's more people out there trying to get over on bands than there are to actually help bands, you know. And I'm beginning to see that more and more. I learned that just in training the red. Dude, we got fucked over by so many people. It wasn't even funny, man. And then I get to this band. I'm like, yeah, this is gonna be cool, smooth sailing. A, you know, record label, booking agents, big nice tour bus. Dude, in 1 week we flopped 3 buses. You know, this is the 4th bus we've been in since I've been with them. You know. Like, and that's aggravating. It's tiring having to move all your shit to different buses. It's cool to have these nice, big, fine-ass buses. You know, you saw what we were in, but it's just one thing after another. And when they break, dude, we sat on the side of the fucking mountain in California for hours and hours, not being able to get in touch with one of their agents. Come on, man. Like, what the hell? Because they're too busy dealing with bigger bands, you know, and I get it. They're making more money, but still, man, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just little small things like that. Dude. Like, their live show, like, I've watched DJ Man 100 times and I go back and start watching my videos. And, dude, like, I see a lot of myself in him, I guess would be the way to say it. Because, dude, we run around, jump around, get into it, you know, the faces we make and shit like that. Like, dude, like, you have to have a good show. You know, interaction with the crowd is, like, it's key. Because I see these other bands are, like, just sitting there and some of their guitar players are just sitting there and being not from the log, you know, but, you know, like, I've learned, like, how to, you know, work the crowd and just different things, man. Like, every day I learned something new. You know, like, we used to sit there watching. I've been changing strings on the guitar since I was fucking 10, and he taught me something the other day, and I tried it, and it worked. You know, he's right. You know, I mean, that's why he's so good, because he knows so much. He's been doing this for so long. You know, just down to little
strings,
small stuff like that.
Y'all changed strings on that one guitar, like, what? On that one guitar, I could have swore he kept cutting them fucking strings like 3 or 4 times. Like, how many times did y'all
right.
put strings on you? I was like, damn. I mean, and then I told
him. He knows what he wants, man.
Yeah.
He knows the tone he wants. He knows how he is on guitars, and dude, he has his way of doing it, and it's different than anybody I've ever seen, but it works, you know. It takes a little bit longer, and it's smarter, though, man. It's definitely smarter. But, dude, I learned a lot, dude. I mean, they're just good people. They're good people, man. You know, I mean, yeah, they fight, they argue, they bitch, they laugh, they cut up, they have fun. They're a family. You know, just like Frame of the Red was at one point, you know. But these guys have stuck it out, and they're doing good, man. Like you said, dude, that album is what they needed. I told CJ, when I first heard about the Blood and Hell at Pay, say that's the album that they've needed, man, since the first one, since Dave died.
You know, I had a great time that day. We got to work with you guys and see what it was like, and it was really fun. And it was really great to spit on by Jason by accident. And I thought the guy to me spit on me. I thought the guy next to me spit on me. Seriously, I was fixing to punch that dude. I looked up, and Jason had his fist in my face like, what the fuck? But he had realized what he did, and he was like, gave me a fist bump. I was like, good, dude, because I know fucking karate. But, no, we had a great time, a great show. Just watching you guys, and to all the listeners out there, Jamie Welch is a really good dude, but he doesn't mind flipping you off behind stage while you're trying to enjoy your show. And I tried to flip you off back discreetly, without thinking about the band, thinking I'm flipping them off. But we had a great time that day.
I just
really
make somebody smile. That's how make somebody, if somebody's sitting there being all fucking, lame, whatever, just looking around, I'll do that. It's funny, man.
I'll walk by
you and fart on you or something like that.
I had a great time, and Daniel Wells, you're a funny guy. I can say so much, but I'm not. It was really great that day. But just another question or two, because I know you're busy. Now, I do know that they're wrapping up their tour where you're going to be. I guess you got just a few more days with them, and they're going to be heading to Japan.
Yeah, man.
What is in the future for Jamie Welch? I mean, I imagine you'll work with these guys again, but I'm talking about as far as you.
But dude,
what's going down with Jamie?
I don't know, man. Like you said, they're about to supposedly go overseas and stuff, and I don't think they can take many people with them. So I don't know, man. I kind of thought about going into porn, I mean, I really don't know. I'm kind of not in the shape to do it, but I hear it's good money in it, and it sounds fun. Something, dude. I don't want to get a regular job no more, dude. But no, I'm going to go home. I've got a lot of people at home I'm going to get a few guitar lessons to, some young kids and stuff. And once I get so long with my royalty with what used to be called Framing the Red, once I get that straightened out, I'll start making money off of that, every 3 months. But now I've got an ass load of songs. I'm going to go home and finish writing all the. I'm going to go to the studio and just record everything. And I may just do it all myself, or I may, I'm a decent drummer. I can half-ass sing. I can play guitar. I can play bass. So I can just do it all myself and either sell them or shop it out to other bands, either, buy or maybe even start a band. I don't know. I would like to get back on stage because I hate not being able to be up there playing. I'm not going to lie. I miss it a lot, but there's money to be made in booking bands. I book, my friends Leyland, I book with them. I book other bands at home, too, and I make enough to pay some of my bills, So, I'm thinking about starting my own booking agency. So, bands, if you're out there and you want to, get your foot in the door some of these places, I'm going to start doing that pretty soon. I don't know, man. Everybody just needs to keep checking back at my, my like page, facebook.com/JamieWelchMusic. And I have all that, updated every day. Right now I'm just basically promoting all the Drowning Pool shows and stuff until I get home. But the first thing I'm going to do, man, is I'm going to literally take like a good week of just dicking off at all the spending time with my kids, dude, because I haven't had that in, I don't know when. The last vacation we went on, I had to cut it short because we got a call to go to Sturgis, and I couldn't turn that down, so I had to leave 2 days early from Florida on the beach, and lose money doing that, but it was worth it, So, I don't know, dude. I'm just going to take a little break, man, and then unless something else comes up, I don't know. I would love to go back and work with Drowning Pool again, but I think it's going to be a while with them going, overseas and stuff like that. So if that, I'll keep that on the back burner. If they call me, I'm going because I like doing this. It's cool, and there's money in it, And I can do other things from the road. Dude. I can book bands from the road and, write music on the road, whatever, and learn even more, And I'm also, every show, I'm going to be getting all the contacts and stuff for these shows to where I'll have it for myself or either my future band or bands that I book, So it's definitely beneficial, Definitely.
Man, I told you, bro. I told you, man, we could be like the Rebellious Saints. I could be the singer and the fiddle player. I get drunk and text you all the time, and you text back.
It could be the White Trash Duo.
White Trash, Hey, Mom, I like the way you plow. I'm going to slap them hogs and milk that cow. You know what I'm saying? But
it just makes, nasty, rude songs. That'd be awesome.
He stopped fucking her today. She won't do
today,
that on the clock. Hey, to all the listeners out there, we had Jamie Welch on the program.
Work,
Jamie,
man.
I thank you so much, man. Let's do it again anytime. You know I'll be drunk.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having
tonight,
me, man.
So. Yeah, anytime.
I'm sure you will send me dick pics and stuff.
Oh, man, you know it. To all the listeners out there, man, who are framing the red fans, listen, we weren't being dicks. We're unbiased. Jordan, you're more than welcome to call. You can give your side of the story. That's fine. Seriously, we could have a roundtable discussion, and then, or we could have a hometown throwdown. The winner takes off. Hey, let's do that. Yeah,
I would love that. I would love 5 minutes in the ring with that motherfucker.
We ought to do it. Hey, we'll do it for Jordan, Jamie. We'll do it for charity. The money goes
to
St.
Jude's
Hospital.
We'll raise money, and the money that we raise is going to go to them putting the fucking album out finally.
That'd be awesome.
I'll let them have the money and go to the album.
Well, he has to win first. But anyways,
I don't care if he ain't gonna win. I'm just saying all the money that's gonna come out, all the money that's raised, they can have it to go to the album. I don't care what happens, you know. They can have the money. I just want that album out where I can start making more money off of it.
Well, hell,
and
man, we
can
hear do that.
Our music.
I'll be the Don King. You'll be the Mike Tyson. We put him as Michael Spinks. But hey, guys, I want to thank you everyone for tuning in today's program. Jamie, God bless. Be safe. Be good. And about
you
another
too,
2 hours,
thanks
I, will
for
texting, I will be texting you.
Thanks for having me on, dude. I appreciate you.
All right, man. Be good, brother.
All right, dude. Bye.
And that was Jamie Welch, formerly of Framing the Red. Now he's working. He's a bass guitar tech / stage manager with Drowning Pool. be sure to check out next week, man. We have J.R. Martinez coming on. He is one of the two singers, actually. He's one of the singers for Hostel. Great, great kick-ass band here in Texas. But be sure to check out next week. And we're looking to have other bands on from Blacktop Mojo. We'll see what happens. But be sure to check out musicwireonline.com. Until then, God bless, be safe, be good. And if you can't be good, at least you could try to be good at it.